Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Neil Hurston Baker Psychic Hour. Today we are talking about, what are we talking about today, Neil? Repeating past life scenarios over and over and over again, and conducting psychic readings. So we do have a caller in the queue we're going to get to in just a moment. I want to invite our callers and listeners, as always, to follow us here on Blog Talk Radio, but especially on Facebook and on Twitter. You can find those accounts on our Blog Talk Radio profile. And the number to call today, 914-338-0164. Please do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. And 562-596-7818 is the number to call for more conversation. More conversation. All right. Let's bring on this caller from the 831 area code. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, hi. Hi.
Hi. What's your name?
Karen.
Karen with a K?
Yes.
Okay. Talk to us.
And,
what's going on?
Okay. Well, I just seem to have a lot of obstacles that that I don't know are there until things don't happen, and I'm wondering, you know, what is going on that I can see other things so clearly, but with my own it seems clear, but then it just seems like a mirage and it goes away. Like,
okay,
things just don't happen, and I'm sort of in the same place.
Okay,
love and
well,
money and all of that.
Okay, so you're having problems like moving forward and letting the past go. You're getting stuck in old ruts.
I don't know what I'm stuck in. There just seems to be obstacles in the way that
right. You're not able to move forward. Not that
I'm
you
not
have a
forward.
Particular problem that's causing, not to say that you're stuck in a rut, but you're in a rut in terms of your inability to surpass some of these obstacles. Is what I'm trying to say. What's your birthday, Karen?
Yeah, but they seem to be blind obstacles. It's like I don't see them, so I can't deal with them, and then nothing happens, and I don't know why.
Oh,
I don't know what the obstacle was. Yeah.
Okay.
The month and day, or month, day, and year?
All of the above. Month, day, and year.
May 30, 1951.
May 30. 51. Okay. Six. And 24, 6. Well, she has that zero. That's maybe, I mean, in numerical terms, the zero in your birth date, and especially in the position it's in, I mean, a zero anywhere in a birth date can present difficulties, but it's in the fire number, which can be super challenging. And she has a one at the end of her year. Well, you guys are born in the same year, Neil.
Yeah. Karen, what are you doing something in the background?
No, but there's rain, and I there's a glass roof, and I'm rain.
Oh,
there's,
I got it.
There's
okay.
Rain going. Yeah, seems
okay.
Like, sorry.
That's okay. Here's what I'm picking up. I'm picking up that you're talking about blocks that you seem to be blind to, and I'm picking up that that I'm going back in time to about grammar school years, where in school, if I'm not mistaken, there might have been some social maladjustment. In other words, maybe the grammar school years were difficult for you. Maybe that was because of the home environment, or maybe it was just the process of social interaction. So first of all, were grammar school years difficult for you?
I don't remember any particular difficulties, but nothing that's really outstanding.
You said, but in the, you didn't finish the steps.
Yeah, not really. Nothing that was really outstanding. I remember being not liking some of the rules and quietly trying to defy them in my own private way.
Oh, okay. Okay, and was there any difficulty in the home in terms of interactions with parents or siblings?
Tremendous amount.
That's what I thought initially when she started talking about difficulties. I thought it was connected to her home life.
Yeah,
I did. I said it, but I didn't. But when you said young, grammar school age, I thought, okay, we're on the same.
So the blind spots, we both agree, Chris and I, and the blind spots are a part of the energy journey that you've taken from your childhood, your teenage years. All of that is energy you take with you, and that energy fills up your whole system of life, so that when you have now, when you have what you call in these invisible blocks that you know are there, but you can't quite tell where they're coming from, some of that is manifested from the whole journey you've taken throughout your life, where the physical blocks were much more apparent and in your face, and you could identify them. Now that's kind of released, but the energy field that you are accustomed to dealing with in friction form is still around you. So a lot of this is due to a psychological cycle that's within you, as opposed to you saying directly, I have something very concrete and physical that's in my way. You have this vague impression of barriers. And that, I think, is the residual energy that's still active in your energy field that you're combating. So it's about clearing away old energies. It's about clearing away old energies.
Which is exactly the topic that we're going to be discussing today on the show. So stay tuned.
How perfect. Yeah. Divine timing.
To your knowledge, did anyone in your family or yourself ever run into any bank problems with the bank?
With the bank? Well, my inheritance was stolen from me.
Well, that's the problem with the bank.
That would qualify. That issue sucks in. That's what we're getting.
So what, just briefly, Karen, what happened?
Well, there's nothing brief about it. It's very convoluted, but my siblings stole my inheritance from me and gaslighted me while doing it. And I was completely powerless to do anything about it.
Yeah. You see, so now we're starting to find, in the psychic conversation, we're starting to find some concrete blocks that have residual energies that are aggravating your current state of being in terms of just energy field.
Right, and that, the root of them is her, you know, her siblings, which are, you know,
siblings.
Family.
So was that above or below 100,000 to your estimation?
Above.
So it's a big chunk of money, and your siblings are obviously... there's something wrong with them. I mean, if they stole your inheritance and you can justify that it was unfair, there's something wrong with them. And I don't understand what the will said. We can't get into that, but it's sometimes difficult to steal your inheritance unless you're being illegally inclined to do something with wills or a parent do something?
Did the will specify that the estate be equally divided amongst siblings?
When they have total control of all the paperwork, there's not really much I can do despite what the will says. They can hide all kinds of assets and convert all kinds of property.
No.
So this whole thing about what will say is a big fraud as well. It's totally overrated. It depends. You can have the perfect plans, but if they're not fulfilled according to your wishes, any one of them or all of them, and if the people who are in total control of all the paperwork can be rewriting the paperwork and write whatever they want, then it's all just a big fraud.
Okay, Karen, so what's happening now in your energy field is you went from being kind of stumbling in your conversation at the beginning of our interaction to bringing up this issue of inheritance, and now your voice is strong, direct, fluid, but it's fueled by anger. So part of your block is contributed to anger in this lifetime. You're very angry and frustrated over being overwhelmed by life and its injustices.
Rightfully so. We're not disputing that. But
we're trying our best to find for you a reason behind the blocks. We're attempting to converse with some sort of psychic connection. Where it's at first, where it may be coming from, it may not be the only place it's coming from, but certainly this is part of it. So the family dynamic, the injustices, the anger, it has become such a monster that it's produced in you different areas of blockage. And, you know, karmically, that could be, it could be a reason for the karma. It could be an actively produced energy in this lifetime. Do you suffer from anything like migraines or aches and pains that are aggravating you now, anything like that in the body?
Not really currently, but actually I had to have surgery because of a lot of it went into a localized area of my body, so that was in a way fortunate rather than just spreading throughout my entire system.
So you had some cancer you had to get rid of or something, or a tumor or something?
Yeah.
See, so the answer would be yes. The answer is yes.
Yes.
It affected my body.
Yes.
So we got a problem. Okay, so we have a problem that can be solved. But the way to solve it, you have to sort of trick your mind into letting go of this anger. If you let go of the anger, which is a realistic premise of, you know, there's a realistic root there. But if you let go of it, the disadvantage is you're letting go of some reality, and it's hard to do. The advantage is in letting go of it, you might clear your path for the future, not the past, but the future. And then we have to talk about what your future endeavors are. I mean, you're 67, but you still have a future. You still have a future.
So my question, Karen, to you is, are you planning, or has there been any idea in your mind of trying to fight whatever ruling the courts, regarding the will? Are you trying to dispute? Or have you, I mean, was this so long ago that it's not really a topic of conversation anymore? Because that would make a difference.
That's a fraud, too. That's a fraud, too, because you go to probate court with the same judge. You can't take it over into a civil arena and have a jury. So the same judge who's in collusion, and who's believing four people instead of one is in, you know, there's no justice there either.
I understand that. But has that been a consideration
of
yours? You're over. So you're saying I'm not going to be able to recover the money. I'm not recovering the money that I lost. I just have to move forward and try to get rid of whatever blocks are preventing my future from being what I want it to be. Right?
Correct.
Okay. So then letting go is a good idea.
Yeah, well, you gotta let go. I mean, what's your plans for the future? What do you work?
No.
What do you do? I mean,
well,
what do you do with your life?
Are you retired?
Well, no, but I might have to if my investments don't work out. And as far as love concerned, I'm concerned about my investments. I'm concerned about, you know, this man who loves me and I love him. And it just, we're just not getting together. It's just.
What's his birthday?
1935. I don't have the month and day.
You don't? Okay.
No.
Well, 35 is your inverted first two numbers.
Yeah.
So there's a karma with him. Your investments.
35. I'm sorry. 35, Neil, is what, an inverted what?
Your month and day. 5 is your month, May, and 3, 30 is your day. He's born in 35, so going backwards in your day and month is 35.
Oh, I see. Okay. Thank
and
you.
Are we talking, you know, this is private, but if you're comfortable, for our sake, are we talking about investments that are in the 3 digits or below that?
Above that.
Okay. Well, do you trust the man that's, or the person, the woman, the man, the person that's in charge of your financial portfolio, or?
I'm in charge of it.
Well, have you done well? Are you doing okay? Are you conservative?
I'm waiting for some things to happen, and it's more condition rather than time. So there's not a date with specificity, it's more conditions, and conditions seems to be working towards that, but it's conditional.
Okay. Are you living off the interest of these investments? I mean, how you support yourself?
No, I'm not living off of these investments. I'm waiting for them to mature.
So how do you support yourself? Because you don't work. Are you retired? What did you do before you?
Right. I do have a small income. Yes.
Did you work in a government agency or a city or the agency? What did you do?
I was an independent contractor.
Doing what type of work?
I was in the legal field.
Legal.
Okay. Well. Okay. Here, you know, your master number is 6, which is equatable to vision. So if you were a contractor in the legal field, I mean, a lot of that would be in terms of your wisdom, your ability to see things ahead of time, that kind of thing. So there's a lot of intuitiveness energy in your world of thinking. You have to be a woman whose brain is a little bit more expansive than just typical. And so that would be established in your code. If you want, in the attitude of numerology, Karen, an 8 is considered a very high number in the system of monetary value. Your 8 is split up by your 5-3 and your month and day, but nonetheless, when you put it together, it becomes an 8. And therefore, what we would have to do to present some kind of attitude about your future, we would have to go back briefly to the year you were 24 years old, which would be 1975. And you'd have to go back there and say, well, here's what happened during that year. If you can remember that year quickly and get some assessment as to what occurred during that year when you were 24. Is that available
to
you?
I got my bachelor's degree when I was 24.
Okay. So, and then that leads
and
to
I,
a
master's. I started on my postgraduate degrees.
Okay. So there's an educational umbrella here that promotes your well-being. It's your escape from your karma, from your turmoil. You obviously worked actively for about 30 years, I would imagine, or more.
Day.
And so that part we can cautiously predict that your investments are going to come in and meet most of your expectations. Okay, there's a little bit of instability in the government; it fluctuates. But if you have invested wisely and considered that there's no great losses in any one circumstance, the prediction here would be that you're going to feel broadly satisfied with the outcome, maybe forthcoming between the next 3 and 4 years. Okay. Now, as far as the love life goes, the individual you're speaking of, I feel there's something wrong with his heart. Now, I'm not sure if there's a physicality in his heart to where he has to watch himself, or if there's a coldness in his heart where he can't quite move to a deeper, intense relationship because of a block within his heart. So there's either an esoteric psychological process of the heart failure, or there's a physicality, it's manifested like your tumor into a physicality where he has something weak with his heart. Can you identify either one of those options?
It's quite plausible that he can't quite move to a deeper, more intense level of a relationship, because I'm unlike anybody he's been with before, which has been, he's had a couple of bad marriages, and he does have something physically wrong with his heart.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, well then both.
Well, they both have. Both. They both work. You know, I mean, if this is the man you chose, what will happen? The soft issue of the soft tissue of the prediction is that he's going to lean towards you because he's going to start to fear mortality. He'll start to move closer to you, but that's kind of like in a movie, you know, when you're watching a movie and a hard person gradually towards the end of the movie softens. In life, there might be a softening. Have you known this person for 9 or 10 years, or what variance from there?
About three and a half years, but about 2 years ago, he started, 2 to 3 years ago, he started softening. He was an extremely hard and tough person prior to that, basically all of his life, and had a reputation for it. And prided himself on that, and then he now is had a complete sort of like, I don't know what you'd call it, an epiphany, and has tried to endeavor consciously to soften and change. But I always have felt that as much as he loves me and as much as he's drawn to me and me to him, there's a block between us, and I think you might have identified it. He just simply, at this point, cannot quite move to a deeper, more intense relationship, because I know he's really drawn to me, and I am to him, but he keeps his distance, and it's a lot of push-pull, and then I start getting frustrated, and then by the time he approaches me, I'm angry, and then, you know, so it's been sort of a push-pull, too. I'm not saying I'm not at fault here. I've played my part, and but I think you know, I think you might be right, as he you know, likening it to some movie, as he moves towards his sunset days. He's already up there.
He's 83 years old.
He,
unless he hasn't turned 83 yet, 82, 83.
Yeah,
but I'm
still well. You know, I mean, 9, 10. Okay, do you want to finish your sentence?
I think you might be right that he could begin to fear his mortality, or start to soften more, and then maybe lean towards me. So I'd like to hear more of what you
say
about that, your impressions.
We said 9, 10 years, you said 3. So there might be 7 years left to this man's life. I don't know, you know, we're just talking. But you don't, he's 83. Well, you know, what's the odds of him living up to 90? Well, okay, so it's reasonable. But
I sort of had a hit for him in a meditation that 92 ish.
So that
for
would
him.
That would be the 7 to 9 year time that you would have known
that coincides. yeah, that coincides with your that coincides with your numbers.
Their years align, you know. Her five to his three is his inverted year. 35 and
I'm not
one to five is her year. So there's potential.
There's potential, and I don't. We're not you. I don't know what that. I don't know intrinsically. You know, you're 67, so you still have maybe 30 years left. Let's say. I don't know, you know, whatever, if you're drawn to this man, if you love this man, you want to spend a few more years with him, hoping that he might soften, there's really no future. There's really no future to speak of. There's a taking care of him as he gets older, unless you have some other personal reason why you want to be with him, if there's other some other motive.
Well, to me, every day counts. And if you love somebody and want to be with them, you want to be with them.
Okay.
And that, and that's what it means to me. It's not about, you know, I'm not 18 looking to be married 50 years. I'm looking to enjoy and be with the person I love.
Was he interested
for however
in
long it is, whether it's an hour or a year, it doesn't matter.
Well, okay. we're asking about his. I mean, you're saying that, you know, he's softened over the years, but was more of a tough personality. In the relationship, do you feel like he has the same goals as you to, you know, share his life, however long it may be, to with another human being and enjoy it with that person?
I we're very happy together. When we're together, we just converse seamlessly. We just enjoy each other's company seamlessly. We spend more time with each other than we thought we would. We both walk away elated.
Well,
it's wonderful.
So
but
what,
then he hides out. You know,
well,
it's almost like he's afraid of happiness.
Well,
I mean, that, you know, that's what we're saying. He'll soften as he gets older. He's going to soften more. He's going to think more about mortality. You'll be maybe the person that sort of takes care of him. And that's your answer. I mean, to the extent of how much further it's going to grow, it will grow to the place where you sort of have this bittersweet love story. It's like a TV movie where a younger woman is in love with an older man, and in his last years, his last decade on the planet, they bond and form a friendship, and that becomes part of your life experience on the planet. Like you said, whether it's an hour or a year, whatever, this is where your future is. So I think we've given you a lot of time on the radio. So I think we come up with a lot of content, Karen, a lot of good stuff. We hope you take it to heart, and you can always review it in the archive. But no, it, you know, that's how much we can handle at the moment for you.
Okay, Karen.
Thank you. You've both been fantastic, Kristen and Neil. I appreciate your everything. Thank you. Blessings. And
thank you.
I'd like to continue to listen. You're
sure,
wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Karen can find us in the archives on Blog Talk Radio, and we're on iTunes as well. So those are a couple places she can find our archive. Also on our Facebook, she can follow us there, send us a friend request, and our archive will be posted. Okay, so we have 201 and 904, and this person I've been wanting to talk to, 201, Gunjan, hi. Is this Gunjan? Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi. Hi, 920-81.
Yes. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm not doing so well.
Okay, so let me just tell you one thing before you go, start talking, because last time we spoke, we had talked about the cosmetics thing. So I looked online to find out about Florida's rules on working in a department store, and you do not need a license. It's the one area you don't need a license. So just to let you know.
Thank you for doing that. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So what's going on?
Well, I'm working right now. It's a good job, and that's fine.
Okay.
But another issue came up is that I went to ER because I wasn't feeling well, and turns out that I had pneumonia, but at the same time, they did a CAT scan and they found a cyst on my spine. Because of that, my left pinky and the ring finger is tingly and numb, and my left leg is tingly and numb. So they didn't say much. They just said, just go to a neurologist and get an MRI, and we'll go from there. So I don't know what that means. I tried Googling it. I tried asking people, but they just said cyst is not good. Cyst is, you know, cancerous, like maybe cancerous, you know.
Well, when did you go to the ER? When was your ER visit?
Last Friday.
Last Friday, and you have pneumonia. Ugh, I've had that many times. And is it a bacterial or a viral? Do they know? Are you on antibiotics or is it not?
Yeah,
treatable?
I'm on antibiotics.
So it's a bacterial?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're feeling better?
Yeah, I'm feeling better. I finished the medication. But I'm going to my primary doctor this Tuesday so he can refer me to a neurologist. But I don't know what that means, cyst on a spine. It sounds scary.
Well, yeah, I don't blame you for being scared. It does sound scary.
Well,
go ahead,
again, you know, Gunjan, we have to make this amount.
Yeah.
We're not doctors. We can't give medical advice. We can't evaluate medical conditions. All we can do is psychically give impressions and key in the word psychically, giving psychic impressions, because we cannot give any kind of medical advice or information. But here's what the psychic impression is. That the psychic impression
benign.
Is that, yeah.
It's benign, yeah.
That it's not many. I was going to say, here's, Kristen jutted in and said benign. She looked up something on the internet.
Yeah, but.
But I was going to say prior to that, that it can either be lasered off or they leave it alone, or it's, you know, there's always a scare about a cyst.
They did say it's going to be like an outpatient surgery, probably.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, the cyst could be a manifestation of tension and depression, and it's in your spinal energy. Did they say where what vertebrae or what column it's on?
It's lower back.
You know, I mean,
lumbar.
That's tension. That's like, this is all psychic now.
Yeah, and
psychic impression.
So,
that's tension. You know, medically we can be wrong, Gunjan, but we're only giving you our psychic impressions. You have to be aware of that.
So can I just interject here? There is something called a synovial cyst, and it occurs in the lumbar region. And that they say it's rare, but it isn't... isn't cancerous. It's benign. It can be left alone. It can be removed.
Yeah.
So that's possibly what it is. But obviously, you know, when you go to the medical doctor, they're going to give you a more comprehensive analysis.
They
want to
do. They may want to do a spinal. They may want to take some fluid. They may want to take a look at it. But if you want our psychic impression without any validation of accuracy, per se, we think it's going to be okay. But you got to remember, Gunjan, we're not doctors. We could be wrong, but our psychic impression is that it will be benign, and they'll keep an eye on it, and everything will be fine. I mean, there's no indication in our energy field with you that you're going to die, or something's awaiting you, you know, prematurely. There's nothing that we've ever picked up on. We've known you for a while. So I would be aghast and surprised if something were to show up that would threaten your life. I would be very surprised. So I think this is tension. And we're, incidentally, where did you get a job?
Yeah, right.
Well, I don't want to say the company, but it's a good company, and I work remotely at home. So
What kind of work?
Same commercial ads.
Okay.
Okay.
And
so
is it helping you? Does
in
it
either
satisfy
field, we suggested,
the?
But that's okay. You suggested restaurants. I suggest cosmetics, but she's back in her regular field commercial.
Knows.
That's good.
Does it satisfy?
Yeah.
I mean, the income reasonably sound?
Yeah, the income is not that it's not good, but I am satisfied working
from home.
Working
is nice.
From home and doing a meaningful job.
Well, I think
to
we,
me.
I think we ha- you know what, to tell you the truth, Gunshan, I think we, Chris and I, helped with that process. We've been working on it, and we want to take a little bit of credit for it because we're happy you found the job. We're not going to take any full credit, but I think part of that is to do with the energy. So I would say that, and to clear up this thing with the spinal cord, you want to go online and look at foods that that enrich the spine.
Probably like
that enrich.
Okay.
You have a problem. You have that. You might want to put some heating pad on that area because there might be a
mm-hmm.
cold. Are you more cold to the touch or warm to the touch?
I'm warm to the touch.
You are?
Yeah.
So that area may be the problem.
What is that in Indian, in Ayurvedic medicine? Pitta, right? Isn't it? I mean, do you Ayurvedic medicine at all?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you practice Ayurvedic medicine? In Ayurvedic medicine, the warmer body, I believe, is Pitta, right? P-I-T-T-A?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
She's Indian. She doesn't know about Ayurvedic medicine. Well, that might be something you should look up, too. But go ahead, Neil. You were saying something about her.
That area,
the touch.
It seems like that area needs some radiant hands-on or warm area. That area is an isolated spot. It's a cold spot.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
Just a cold spot, even if she's warm.
Yeah.
Kristen, what name did you look up? You said the name before, some kind of cyst.
Oh, synovial, S-Y-N-O-V-I-A-L. And I just punched in cyst and spine, and it was the first thing that came up.
Well,
and to be honest, I hadn't even read through it when I,
They said it's a Torlov cyst, T-A-R-L-O-V.
They said it was a Torlov cyst?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's, I mean, I just, you know, like we said, we're not, T-A-R-L-O-V. So that's a different...
And
well,
they wouldn't see much about it. And it was just really, really hard. They kind of just like said, okay, we'll do the MRI and then we'll go from there. So that's all they said. And it was kind of scary.
Well, because you went to an emergency room, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to, I mean, for something like that, obviously they have to refer you to a doctor that can treat you long term. They're not going to treat something like that or really comment too much in an emergency room about that. But it seems, I mean, overlooking this
that?
Really quickly, mm-hmm. It seems like it's not super serious. I mean, obviously having a cyst that's causing you numbness and, you know, any discomfort is a concern, but it doesn't look like, it looks benign. It says, you know, that they can self heal and things like that. So
yeah, let's go to the first route that this will be taken care of. Let's go there first.
These affect the nerve root, so they're a little different than the other type, but again, not a cancerous cyst.
Yeah. Let's go with the route that we're going to say that it's going to clear up. Let's go there first, Gunjan. And,
okay.
And if we're wrong, we'll deal with it then. But let's go there first. Put out energy. Do look up foods that, I don't know if there's foods that help the spine.
Yeah,
there
probably.
Must be something. So look that up.
Or foods for cysts. foods for cysts on the nerve root, things like that.
Yeah, on the nerve root, yeah. Look that up, but let's stay positive and keep checking in with us.
They're also called perineural cysts. They're known as Tarlet cysts. So you can look that up as well. P-E-R-I-N-E-U-R-A-L cysts.
Okay.
Okay. Well, good luck. Keep us posted, Gunjan.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, it says that they can cause sciatica. I mean, it sounds like they're common, more common than the one that I mentioned.
Yeah.
The synovial cyst. Okay, let's bring on 904. Hi.
Hi.
What's your name?
I'm Liza.
Hi, Liza.
Hi.
L-I-Z-A?
Yes.
Okay. Where are you calling from?
I'm from Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay. And what's going on today? What's your question?
I was just kind of, I'm actually getting ready to go back into the workforce, and I was just calling to see what you guys thought energetically, how that was
going
to play out.
Going back into the workforce. Okay.
Yeah. So I've been taking care of my parents for about 10 years, and they, my mom passed in May. So basically she was the last of the Mohegans that were left of the three. So now I kind of feel like I should go back to work and do
What's
something.
Your birthday? What's your birthday?
February 8th.
1967.
Okay, 10/20. I thought she was going to say she was taking care of a child, but not parents.
And you're 51?
Oh, no, I was taking care of my grandmother
parents.
And my dad and my mom.
Right, yeah. So that was...
You're 51 years
right.
old?
Yes.
51
And real
years
quick,
old.
What happened in 1990? What happened in year 2000?
I graduated nursing school.
Okay.
That's funny.
So you're so interesting too, because you're in the field. I mean, you're a nurse and you were caretaking. So doing basically, I mean, somewhat similar to what kind of nursing?
Well, I had worked in the infectious disease unit for 5 years. And then my grandmother, who was in her 90s, got sick. And then my dad, and then my mom. So it was kind of, I was in and out of the hospitals and was never really getting home because I was then going to where they were. And then, so my husband was like, you know, we never see each other because you're either at work or taking care of your parents. So fortunately, I was able to take care of them until they passed.
So what does your husband do?
He's an accountant for the hotels. He's a...
I heard the word investments, so that's
financial, that encompasses the financial.
Well, so what's your question?
How is it going to go?
I was just wondering, like, do you see, well, when you said 2000, that's kind of funny because I was looking to get in back into nursing, and I'm looking at a specific hospital is where I want to, I would love to go, but you know, I know the universe has its own idea, I guess.
You know, everybody thinks the universe is not, you know, everything doesn't file into the universe. Some things are just in the world and some things are in your karma.
The universe,
it isn't like all the planets of the solar system
are aligning for
going, whoa, what's Liza up to? Let's decide what we're going to do with her. You know, you're probably going to go back to nurse. When we said what happened in the year 2000, your karma had a shift at that time. At the age of 33, you went into you had the nursing thing going. Our prediction is you're going to go back. They're going to value your experience. The nursing field is in turmoil. They're always looking for somebody. There's a high turnover. You're probably gonna go there and on top of that, I think you'll be about 3 or 4 more years, if not more, but 3 or 4 more solid years being in the nursing field.
Are you going to go back to the same infectious diseases? Are you going to be doing the same thing?
I would like to now transition. So when I was on the unit that I was on, I sort of missed an aspect of it, which was basically telemetry. But the unit that I worked on kind of made me use my intuition a little bit more because we didn't have them monitored. So although it was a serious unit, we weren't like pushing like high drugs that like insulin and stuff like that, drips. So they didn't monitor my unit. So I did miss that part. But being that I've been taking care of my parents, I really love the camaraderie of the ER and that I've seen. Now, I haven't worked in it, but the places that I've gone, I'm like, oh, I really like how these nurses work together and in the OR. So those are two areas that I would really love to do.
You'll probably end up there. And you mentioned intuition, your master number 6, which is the third eye. And does the name Robert or Bob mean anything to you?
Well, my brother-in-law.
So we're in the family zone. How about the name Vincent?
I worked at St. Vincent. That's where I was working. Yeah.
Okay, so there we go. So those are some softball validations for the premise going. And
You know what? And that's funny. My manager's name, first name was Robert, but I didn't put that to,
okay.
So my manager, my first manager.
That's so, more in same, you know, we're talking about the nursing field and is your boss.
Yeah.
So you got some pretty good validations here on the show.
So it's going to go well.
Oh, thank you.
It should go pretty good. Go pretty good.
Once you said 2000, I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, I'm going to.
Well, that's in your code, you see. But the code is also infused with intuition and evaluation, interpretation. So your energy level is pretty high. There's an outstanding essence. You see, there's a spiritual, and the work you're doing has some spiritual implications. In other words, if you want to talk about the universe again, ridiculous. But if we want to talk about the universe having a consciousness, I use the term too, so I'm guilty. But there is a spiritual validation, meaning your seventh chakra is the chakra of servitude to a high level of humanity. And there's a certain criteria of evidence that you have permeated into that chakra field to help others.
Well, yeah, because our master number is right next to the seven, 6-7.
Yeah. So you're basically, just for your curious attention, your work on the planet is going to have some spiritual criteria. You're helping
others.
Yeah. So that's going to be filled in your soul.
Clearly,
so when
nursing.
You leave the planet, your soul is going to have spiritual content in it where you helped your fellow human beings. And that will help you.
I believe that.
Advance in the spiritual, on the spiritual realm, rather than if you do nothing to help others in your life. So you're fulfilling something transcendent by that nursing.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And my life is basically about I never think about myself.
Well, clearly because you've, you know, helped your grandparents and your parents.
Do you have
regard.
Three children or are there three members in your family?
Three members. There's myself and my brother and my sister.
Okay.
No children?
One child.
I have a stepdaughter, but I don't have any children of my
own. Oh, stepdaughter. No stepdaughter.
Well, there's a child in your family. So
that's also three. The husband, stepdaughter, and her.
All right.
So, okay.
Are you related to the Minellis?
No, but funny that you say that because my dad got to name me and that's who he named me after. So that's hilarious that you said that. Yeah.
Yeah.
My dad picked the name.
Life is a cabaret.
Yeah. Life is a cabaret. Life is a hospital. Life is an ER room, you know, George Clooney.
That's true.
Well
thank you so much.
Hopefully that's helpful to you, Liza. Keep us posted. stay connected with the show.
Oh, I definitely will.
You can follow
Thank
us on
you.
Facebook, and we appreciate your call today. Okay. Well, we've got approximately 8 minutes to discuss.
8 minutes is very symbolic of you know, eight minutes has a strong symbolism. But
just what I was thinking.
Yeah. Well, everyone's thinking about 8 minutes. 8 minutes. 8 minutes to talk about over and over and over and over, because we keep coming back. We don't know it. Well, some of us do, but we keep coming back, repeating the same lifetime. I mean, this
some
isn't about deja vu.
We
or,
necessarily don't, but some people do.
I hope not. Well, you always come back with some residual energy from a previous lifetime. You always come back because otherwise you wouldn't come back. So there's always some residual energy. But
right, and it crops up in different ways. Like sometimes, you know, people may have died in a car accident and then they get into a minor fender bender in this lifetime.
Right.
So that's how it, you know, how it manifests, but it's on a much lesser level. But some people have conditions of past lives that are much more, they affect the whole course of their lifetime. Like our first caller, for instance, who is really having a problem getting out of that
cycle. Yeah, I mean, I once did a reading with a guy that was in a major car accident in a past life, and that now he works in an auto repair shop. He does, you know, you bring your car to him and he fixes it for you. But the attitude, sometimes it's watered down. Karma can be watered down to such an extent that you're just getting the last drops of karma. Some of it comes back with a flood. It's a flood of karma, and the only thing you can do is get through life until you die, and hopefully that washed it away. Some of you out there that feel like you're getting older and older and it's been nothing but struggle and pain, but you say to yourself, well, I've always been a good person, I've always helped others, but I never get anything in return. You're probably reducing your karma, the life sentence of karma. We can't have a... You see, when you died previously, some of us died with under a life sentence. You know, we went to prison with a life sentence or consecutive sentences. Some of us don't come back. We come back to various degrees. We're born into a horrible family. It's a criminally induced family. Some of us are born crippled or with severe problems, drug problems. And then some of us are born with this crippling aspect that we feel like we're
stuck,
always being persecuted, always being punished. Well, sometimes the criteria of a past life altercation that resulted in a prison term, and that you died before the prison term was served, an individual comes back serving that sentence under various conditions.
And there's little they can do to escape those conditions.
That's why some people have a lifetime term of karma.
Difficult karma, usually.
And if all we can say to those people is, well, do everything you can to make life better.
Right, don't create new karma to compound the karma that you've come in with, because that can really screw things up for your next lifetime. Obviously, if you've got a life sentence, you're probably going to be coming back again, hopefully, to actualize
right.
something that was more transcendent than
like,
you're able to in that lifetime.
Literally, like some prisoners do, they learn the law in prison. They turn over their lives to God in prison. They help others. They counsel. So you can, in a lifetime sentence of karma, reduce it further by doing good work. You do good work, even if it's intricately connected to your own ego and creativity. You just work and you continue to do that until your dying day. So there's a way to reduce that, as much as the consciousness of knowing that you are repeating a karma. So even those of us who have horrible habits that we can't break, eating habits, drug habits, alcohol, obsessive compulsive,
shopping, gambling,
everything like this,
codependency. I mean, we can name a thousand, but anyway,
that would be, you reduce it. I mean, if you can reduce it, the trigger that where the bullet may hit the bullseye is that you are absolutely reducing an over and over and over again karma, not to mention relationships, bad, unhealthy relationships
right.
that you might trace to your childhood.
Like I said, codependency, which is just one aspect of bad relationships.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, were you going to say something?
I was going to say something, but my mind blanked. My mind blanked.
Well, forgetfulness is a karma.
Well, you're the one who's usually forgetful.
That's senility.
Compared to me.
That's senility.
Senility there's
is
a difference.
Different category, but deliberate forgetfulness is an obnoxious karma. But anyways, so, you know, I would say that one way to reduce karma is to train yourself. Train yourself to learn a new trick.
Well, I think it can be very challenging to someone who's experiencing an intense karma throughout a lifetime to reduce the karma because the condition of the karma, you know, gets into the psyche and they get depressed and, you know, then one tends to perpetuate what's
going on.
You know,
it's funny because you say the word in mathematically inclined, numerologically minded, connected to the idea of reducing a number. You reduce it to a common denominator. You reduce it to a single form. Numerology reduces all of the numbers on your birthday to a single number.
Which I might add is why in our form of numerology, we reduce, we don't, you know, there's people that say, well, you know, 11 is a master number. 22, 33, no.
No, they're
no,
not, ma-
they're
those
not,
are not
master,
master
numbers.
Numbers. Those aren't master numbers.
And it doesn't mean you've been, you know, specially selected by the universe to do something special in life if you're, compounded,
yeah.
meaning you have to reduce twice. No, a master number is a single number,
it's
1 through 9.
It's a single number, 1 through 9. The others are compounded numbers, and you can put whatever divinity or thought behind it. You could call it anything you want, from being blessed by God to being blessed by Chuckle the Clown. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. What matters is that you formulate, that you condense your life, that you put it into a single form, and you work towards that essence until you transcend your karma. Because anyone who's walking on the earth thinks they're so privileged and they're so gifted and they were Queen Elizabeth and they were, you know, the Queen of Sheba and they were Cleopatra. That's bullshit.
And typically when you have a compounded energy coming into this life, there is more karma to deal with because you've got the compounded energy of multiple lifetimes, even more than what you're dealing with if you have a number like, you know, 25-7 or whatever it may be, 20 equals 2. When you reduce twice, then there's more karma to deal with.
Well, you know,
generally.
It reminds me, I remember the day when people, a lot of women were doing readings, and I would say it,
you mean
in a month.
Doing readings with you.
Doing readings with me, and within a month, I had 8 women tell me they were Cleopatra.
You said
well,
this
I'll tell you about 8 women being Cleopatra. When I went to a store, I sat on Santa Claus's lap, and he said, "Well, I'm the real Santa Claus." I said, "No, you're not. I can prove it." And he goes, "Oh, no, you can't." I go, "You want to bet?" And I ripped his beard off, and he chased me through the department store. We can make up any fairy tale we want. We can pretend to be anybody we want. That's fine. Harmless. Good. But the reality of energy is that you're living in one lifetime. Now, you may have had other... But you're here dealing with karma, and you're here in an attitude of transcending that karma.
Right. And so some of us have had quite illustrious past lives. But really, what does that mean in the grand scheme of things in the specific lifetime you're living in? I mean, if you were Cleopatra in a past life, so what? You're back on the planet. So you have to deal with the karma that you're assigned to in this lifetime and get through it. And just one more thing about master number. So, you know, reducing it to a master number. Well, she's a 4. She's, you know, full of love and whatever other adjectives you want to assign to a master number. You have to consider all the numbers within the code. So it's not just about a master number, but it's about that specific code assigned to you that comes with the entire birth date, and then the vibration of energy specific to the individual. So even if you share the same birth date as another person, it's going to be a totally different code,
right,
even if they're identical numbers.
There is an individual code even within the uniformity of numbers. So it's absolutely 100% true.
Okay, so we are out of time. And I guess, I don't know if we'll be continuing this. The topic is over and over
we'll
and over and over
it.
Again.
We'll
but,
have to go over it and discuss it and see if it's worthy of attention.
Okay, so we are back on the air Wednesday. My name is Pacific. We encourage our listeners and callers to follow us on Facebook. And we hope everybody has a great weekend. Bye-bye.